This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai, Baruchim Abayim. Welcome to our share tonight on Parshas Vayeshev. We'll speak about Hanukkah as well. And the tonight's share is sponsored by our dear friend, Rabbi Yaakov Grant of Edgware, London. So we're Mavarich, Rabbi Yaakov. He should have Bracha V'atzlacha, Simcha Sanachas, Parnas V'Ravach, V'mali Hashem, Kol Meshalois, Libcha L'toiva. Now, we're very excited to announce that the shiurim are available on TorahAnytime.com, on podcast, on Shas Illuminated, and on the OU website as well. Now, we're going to focus on the following little episode in the parsha. We spoke at a mahalach on Monday, and we're going to pursue and try to uncover and discover a new aspect and a new element of Parshas Vayeshev. Now, Parshas Vayeshev seems to be somewhat of a streamlined story. You have a man by the name of Yosef, Joseph, and his father makes him the Technicolor dream coat. He makes him the Ksenis Possum, and Yosef is the envy of his brothers, and they hate him, and they tell him as much, and Rashi says that's to their credit, because if you don't like someone, you should tell them. Don't keep it buried inside. And they want to kill him, and then they decide to do him a favor. They're going to throw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions. And it says, the habor reik ain boy mayim, but the next trip is a zarka. Zarka is like a snake. That's how you know there are snakes inside. And so, and Yosef, they decide they're going to sell him to Yishmaelim, to Midyanim, to Soicharim, and they're carrying beautiful scented things. And then if I was writing the story, I would continue. So Joseph goes down to Mitzrayim, and he's successful. And Potiphar's wife, she makes an advance to Yosef, and she accuses Yosef, and Yosef runs away, and he gets thrown into jail. And that I would call it a day. That would be Parshas Vayeshev. However, in middle of the Parsha, as if it would be some kind of national programming where people's attention span is not that long, the Torah digresses in the middle of the sale of Yosef to say, by the way, we're going to remove the spotlight from this character, now let's shine it on him. By the way, Yehuda went down and he had a friend, an Adulami, and he married a lady named? Shua. And he had two sons, Aaron Oinon, and the third son, Shelah, and Aaron Oinon, they misbehaved. And Aaron and Oinon die. And Yehuda did not want Tamar to do Yibum to Shelah to do Yibum to Tamar. Because Tamar, at least according to some opinions, the Katlanis already. You know, once you knocked off two people, there are Shitas, you're a Katlanis. So Yehuda is prolonging and procrastinating. By the way, for those learning Masechta Yevamos, the Rashi Tevos of the opening words of Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev, Yaakov, V'eretz, Megure, Yibum, because this is the Parsha of Yibum, says the Ben La'ashri, and Yehuda procrastinates, but she's mesavet to have children from Yehuda, so she dresses up like a zoyna, and the Chazal say Yehuda tried to resist, and Hashem sent the malach, that is Mamuna, on Taiva, and pushed Yehuda into it. And sure enough, 3 months later, or thereabout, she's expecting, and Yehuda says, what he means, she's the granddaughter of shame, she's a bas koyin, we gotta burn her, and as she's being taken out to be burnt, she said, Yehuda, you recognize these items? These were Yehuda's guarantors, that he would pay her for her services, and Yehuda utters the famous words, Sadka Mimeni, and they have two kids. Who are the two kids? Peretz, and Zarach. Oh, by the way, now you got that story? Okay, Yosef's back down to Mitzrayim. And what happens to Yosef? Why does the Torah interrupt the regularly scheduled broadcast of the story of Yosef with the episode of Yehuda and Tamar? On Monday, we said an amazing pshat from the Shla. And I tell you the truth, yesterday was quite busy. And it was 11 o'clock at night, and I still did not know what the shir would be on. That was the first. And the whole night I was having Chalisha Sadas. What am I going to give Shir on? And luckily, the heavens woke me up at 5 a.m., and the following idea hit me. And it seems to be very simple. Why this little episode is interjected in the middle of the parsha? Because the Gemara Megillah tells us a very famous principle. It says, and people want to know, why does every shir I give about Purim? Why not? It should be about Tisha B'Av. Purim is always, you know, Purim is always a good topic to segue into. So the Gemara Megillah says, Achar hadvarim ha'ela, after these words, Achar hadvarim ha'ela gidal ha'melech Achashverosh es Haman. It's almost Purim, by the way. You know that? It's basically, after Hanukkah, you have, I don't know, less than 6 weeks to Tu B'Shvat, and then it's 4 weeks to Purim, and then you're good. Then you have to start cleaning for Pesach. So we're almost there. Right. Okay. So speaking about the pandemic, let's talk about the pandemic a little bit. So the pandemic started in Wuhan or in Italy or in wherever it started. It's Machloikis HaShoitim, where exactly the pandemic began. And we're still waiting the vaccine. We're still waiting the refuah. So the Gemara Megillah says that, why does it say the Ribbono Shel Olam brought Haman after these matters? Obviously, it happened after whatever we said. So Amar Rava, after the Ribbono Shel Olam created the refuah to the Makkah, after Hashem put Esther in power, and the Jewish people have an advocate in the Beis HaMelech, and everything is set into place to be able to bring the salvation, so then Hashem brings the Makkah. The Amar Reish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makkah Es Yisrael, Elam Kein Bar Lahem Refuah Tchila. God does not smite the Jewish people until He first creates the remedy. Shenemar, Kerifi, Li Yisrael, V'nigla, Avoin Ephraim. However, by the nations of the world, it's not so. First God smites them, and then He figures out how to cure them. So that's why after God put Esther into power, then and only then He brought Haman to the scene. In the words, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. The Gemara says, Achar Mai. After God created the refuah of Esther, only then did Hashem bring Haman to power. In other words, not until Esther was in the Paragimel. Right, exactly. So, Paragimel of the book of Esther. Yeah, Megillas Esther. Now, comes the stipler, because Reb Chaim asks, what's the nafkamino? The refuah comes when the refuah comes. What difference does it make if the refuah comes before the Makkah? Either way, you're not getting it. So you get it when you get it. So what difference does it make if it existed before or existed after? So the stipler going deals with this question, and he says that the main ramification of this concept, that Hashem brings refuah to the Makkah, is a person's psychological wherewithal to be able to deal with the challenge. Why? Because, for the most part, what makes a challenge in life difficult, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's family, whether it's personal, is a feeling of hopelessness that this problem, there is no way out. There's certain things in life that there's no way out of the problem. Never going to get. I'm never going to be cured. I'm never going to be helped. I'm never going to be secure. I'm never... Shiduchim, chinuch habanim, whatever it is. However, that leads to what we call a four-letter word, which we don't like to say. It's called yush. Person feels despondent, helplessness, and then you're deflated and you lose energy because you think in this area in life, it is hopeless. However, when we recognize that for a yid, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation because every problem, the refuah was already created before God brought the problem to be. The refuah always existed. To begin with, the remedy was created, the solution was created. Just Hashem doesn't allow us to see it yet or to access it or to recognize. So what we need to do is we need to pray, we need to learn Torah, do mitzvahs, and be mitzapeh that's Yeshua's Hashem, keheref ayin. Why? Because Yeshua is already there, we just have to be zoicha to see it. Case in point is... on the back of the Rav Meir Bal Hanes Tzedakah Pushkas, they quote this pasuk, but it's not really what the pasuk says. You know the episode? Abraham, Sarah tells Abraham, get your kid out of the house. And Avraham was very upset about that. So Avraham has no choice. He has to listen to his wife. And he throws Yishmael out of the house. And Hagar goes. And they're thirsty. They're in the desert. And Yishmael is about to die of thirst. And she throws him under the bushes. And she goes far away. She says to herself, I cannot witness the death of my child. And all of a sudden, what does the pasuk say? But as soon as Ribbono Shel Olam was ma'orer his rachamim, vayifkach Elokim eseinaha, God opened their eyes, vatera be'eramayim. It doesn't say Hashem created the water. It doesn't say Hashem opened up the well, or Hashem dug the well. The well was there. The water was there. Hashem merely opened up her eyes to see what was in front of her nose. So we see that when God brings a problem, the solution is there. It may be staring you in the face. You just have to be zoicha to uncover your eyes and see it. Says the Holy Stipler. In every challenge, mevucha, Reb Shmuel, mazeh mevucha b'ivrit. Confusion. I think mevucha is trapped. Navo. He's trapped. He's hopeless, right? Ubilbulim. Somebody has anxiety, depression. And in any situation in life, the solution is very simple. But so long as we're not zoicha to see it, it seems hopeless. It seems very difficult. We don't see what is in front of our eyes. However, we have to have bitachon, that the refu has been created, the remedy is created. We just have to be zoicha to see it, to access it, to appreciate it and behold it. And then, l'soif, the Yeshua will come. In fact, it's the same thing in learning. You know, sometimes you're geya and learning, you're trying to understand, and all of a sudden, oh, I chap. So what exactly was taking so long? What were you breaking your head over for the last 3 hours? The answer is, so long as God doesn't open up your eyes, you don't see what's in front of your eyes. That's why we're mispalel. Galeinai, uncover my eyes, v'abita neflois mitarasecha. In fact, we say in Perkei Avos, those who learn Torah Lashma, Hashem is megale the secrets of Torah. What does it mean Hashem is megale? The secrets are there. They're blatant, they're obvious. You just have to be, you have to uncover it, you have to reveal it. Now,
Moshe Rabbeinu received the present of Hadakura Megefa from the Malachim.
Okay.
So it was in the open.
So the same thing would be for the pandemic. God does not strike the Jewish people unless He creates the refuah before. Now, how do you deal with a global pandemic that affects both Yisraelim and Einom Yisraelim? And so what, for the Yisraelim, the refuah was created for the any idea. But that's the point. Now,
the technology for vaccinations.
The what?
The technology for vaccines was is a,
it's there.
For years. So I'm saying even they just needed to make a vaccine for it, but the actual vaccine technology
the,
was before.
So mm-hmm. The elementary building blocks of it.
Right.
Okay. And how would it be for Yisrael but not for... Okay. So using this formula, that whenever Hashem brings a makkah, He always brings the refuah first. Let's apply this to one of the biggest makos the Jewish people ever received, namely the descent to Egypt. We know Mitzrayim was a rough and tough place. We were there for 210 years. We sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Nobody ever escaped Egypt. Nobody ever got out. Nobody ever broke out of the land was Sagur Mesugaras. It was sealed with Kishuf. So if God is sending us there, He must have created the way out before we got there. Now, how did we get out of Egypt? Because we were trapped by the sea. So the pasuk says, Hayam ra'a bayanas. The sea saw and fled. What did the sea see? The sea saw Aroinu Shel Yosef, the Yalkut Shemoni says in number 4. Why, when the sea saw Aroinu Shel Yosef, did the sea split? Because what happened when she grabbed Yosef's begadim, Yosef, Vayonas, he fled. So God, the Jewish people show the Aroin of Yosef to the sea. The sea saw that Yosef fled, so the sea flees. So there's no wonder then, before God sends the Jewish people down to Egypt, He has to create the refuah. So what does He do? He sends Yosef down to Mitzrayim, because Yosef is the key to get out. So before even the Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim, God prepares the refuah, namely Yosef. Yosef, look, I can't even send you down until we figure out how we're going to get you out. How are we going to get them out? Through Yosef. So Hashem says, Yosef, you would think you should go down after them because you're going to get them out. No, you have to go down before them because the refuah has to come before the Makkah. But watch this. How does Yosef get them out? He has a challenge. What's the challenge? She grabs onto him and he has to flee. So Yosef is probably thinking, I don't understand. My world is coming crashing down. I'm kidnapped from my family. I'm away from my father, my Rebbe, my beloved father who loves me. And now I go down to Mitzrayim and the first thing I get there is I'm accused of immorality. And Hashem's looking down from Shema. No, Yosef, I'm not trying to harm you. I'm gifting you this opportunity to run away from Eishes Bo Tiferah because this is the way. I can't even bring Klal Yisrael down yet until you're tempted by her and you run away. So now they have a way to get out. So now I could bring them down. Okay. So we're going to use that analogy as a way to put in perspective everything that's going to happen even before the Jewish people come down to Mitzrayim. So in next week's parsha, Parshas Miketz, Ya'aseh faroi v'yafked pekidim al ha'aretz v'chimesh es eretz Mitzrayim b'sheva shnei hasava. Paro should appoint and make officers on the land v'chimesh es eretz Mitzrayim and divvy up, prepare the land of Egypt. So I've said over this chida, I would say at least a dozen or two times in the shiurim over the years. I never said it over this way, and I want to add one very important nekuda. First of all, the chida famously says that v'chimesh is a rashi teves. Namely, what's the rashi teves? Yosef HaTzadik knew the destiny of the Jewish people, that eventually we would have to come out of Egypt, and we would have to book early. How many years were we supposed to be in Mitzrayim? 430 years. How many years did we do service of intense labor in Mitzrayim? 86. Which is what percent of 430? One?
Fifth.
V'chimesh. Yosef knew we'd have to get out after one-fifth. Now, how would we get out after one-fifth? If somehow we could... Look, the 86 years were very bitter. They were very intense. If God would reckon those 86 years of like intense labor as if we did 430 years within 86 years, we could get out early. Meaning we were supposed to work reasonably over 430. They brutalized us for 86 years and we got out early. Now, says the Chida, if someone is supposed to do a certain amount of time and they do that time, but they work very, very intensely, would the master reckon the intensity of the labor and say, well, you worked very hard, so we're going to let you out early? No, not if the master is a slave master and the worker is a slave. The slave master says, good, work even harder. What does the slave master care? But if the person who's doing time is the son and the father is the one who is the appointee, the father says, look, I'll have rachmanis on you. You were only supposed to work this amount. So whether you spread it out over a longer period of time or you do it more intensely, that will be, the intense labor will be acceptable in lieu of a longer service. So Yosef knew that if we would stay in Mitzrayim any longer, we would disappear as a people, we would fall into the Shar Nun. So Yosef knew we got to get out of Egypt early. How are we going to get out of Egypt early? If God could reckon the intensity of the service as if it was spread out over a longer period of time. Why would God reckon the intensity of the service as if it was spread out? Because God's our Father and we are His Banim. Who said that we're Banim to Hashem?
Meir.
You're right, Reb Meir said we're Banim. Thank you, Reb Sender. If anybody wants to get the new Sefer, it's available on the new website, rabbidg.com. I know people were wondering, it's been 20 minutes, we didn't mention it. What?
It's available on podcast.
The Sefer is not available on podcast, no.
Did you but, answer the question of why we brought down the story of Yehuda?
No. That's the first question. I'll get back to it all at the end. Okay, so Yosef wants to establish that were banim in Mitzrayim. So how does he do so? Yosef, see, we used to say, Yosef told Paroi, we need to institute the following three mitzvos that establish the Jewish people are banim. But I don't think the Chida is really saying that. I think Yosef just used words that are merames, that these are three things the Bnei Yisrael have to keep very carefully to establish when they get here that they're banim. What are they? V'chimesh, Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. These three mitzvahs demonstrate and publicize the fact that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chimesh es Eretz Mitzrayim. How do they demonstrate that? So first of all, we'll start with Shabbos. Shabbos, God rested on Shabbos. So Shabbos is God's personal possession. It's His property. It's His scepter. Anyone who dares touches the scepter of the king, he's a marid b'malchus, off with his head. So the only person who has a right to take the scepter of the king is the king's son. So Shabbos demonstrates we're banim tashem. That's why goyshe shavas is chayv misa. Mila, the Zohar says, someone who guards the mila demonstrates he's a beloved son of Hashem. And chodesh, look, Bezdin, they say tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, but today's Rosh Chodesh. So who does God follow? The reality or what Bezdin says? God follows the Bezdin. What if Bezdin intentionally made a mistake? God follows the Bezdin. What if Bezdin is unlearned? God follows the Bezdin. Why in the world would God follow the Bezdin and not the reality? And the answer is, this mitzvah demonstrates that we are the beloved children of Hashem. V'chimesh es Eretz Mitzrayim. That these three mitzvahs demonstrate we are banim. Why did Yosef want to demonstrate that we're banim? Because this way God will reckon the intensity of the Shibud and let us out after 86 years instead of 430 years. In fact, the Chida, in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, he elaborates on this idea. He says something very interesting. You know, God, when He came to redeem us from Egypt, He had a dilemma. You know what the dilemma was? The Medrash says the dilemma was that any Kohanim here?
How could Hashem come down and do Marcus Bechor? The answer is the Kohen.
Ah, Gevaldik. So Bessender is saying, the dilemma is you have a Kohen, and he dropped his Truma in the Beis HaKvaris. Could a Kohen go into the Beis HaKvaris to get his Truma? The Medrash says he could go in, because otherwise the Truma is going to be stuck there forever. So God had a similar dilemma. He's a Kohen. Could He leave His Truma Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim? Or is God going to be metame to the Jewish people and redeem them? So God says, I have no other way to get him out other than to be metame, so I have no choice. So ask the Marash Yafa, what do you mean? Why can't God send a messenger? Why can't God send an agent? And he says, but Makas Becharis he had to do himself. So for Makas Becharis there was no Eitzah. However, says the Chida, another reason why God had to come Himself to redeem the Jewish people, He says like this. Raise your hand if you go to the mikvah every hour. No, I'm just joking. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a big, what's the biggest mikvah you've ever been to? Vizhnitz, Satmar, Skver. Somebody's shaking his head, Skver. The Gemara has the following Shaila in Sanhedrin. The Gemara asks, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? God. How? When God buried Moshe, what mikvah did he go to after? What the mikvah must have been very, very big. God is Mimadad B'Shalahayim. Who could measure the amount of water God needs? So what mikvah did God go to? Fractosis, what mikvah did he go to? How is he allowed to become tummy in the first place? He's a Kayan. So Taisus says, good. Taisus says, this araya that we're banim lamakayim. That's how Hashem was able to be matami to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Taisus. So the Chida says as follows. God's going to take us out early. And all the malachim are going to say, what are you taking them out early for? So God's going to say, well, I'm going to reckon the intensity of the labor as if they did 430 years and 86 years. So malachim are going to say, but that's only if they're children. God says, they're my children. So malachim says, prove to us they're your children. So God says, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to be metame to them and go down into Egypt And how am I allowed to be metame to them other than the fact that I'm their father and they're my children? And now that they're my children, I'm allowed to be metame to them, and now I could take them out early. So I ask you the following question. Who established that we are children to Hashem in Egypt, that Hashem should be able to take us out early? Whose idea was it? Yosef. When did Yosef have this idea? He said, V'chimeshes Eretz Mitzrayim, Chodesh Milan Shabbos. When did Yosef have this idea? After the Jewish people were there already? No. The whole concept of Yosef was to preempt the descent of the Jewish people. And as the Chidah says, Yosef created the refuah before the Makkah. But our shir is not about Yosef. Our shir now is about the Ribbono Shel Olam. From the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam prepared for Klal Yisrael a Yosef who would establish Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos to make sure that we have a Din Banim, so that even before we come down to Egypt, the pieces are already in place that God could redeem us before the time. So think how Hashem's orchestrating it. We're not even there yet for Hashem to be worried about how is He going to get us out. But He already paved the way and calculated how He could take us out early by sending Yosef down and establishing Chodesh Milan Shabbos before we went down to create the refuah before the Makkah. So let's talk about the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Because when... You'll see. Hang on to your socks. You'll see. When Klal Yisrael go down to Egypt, there's a very fundamental question in Jewish thought. And we've discussed this many times. And that is, we always say, there are four exiles in Jewish history. This was something predicted from the very beginning of creation. V'haaretz ha'isa soyhu, v'avoyhu, v'choyshech apnei sahayim. Or how many rivers in Gan Eden? Four rivers. And how many kings war against the five kings? Four kings. Everything in Bereishis is all about the four exiles. What are they? Babylon, Persia, Greece, and New York. Yeah, Edom. Golas Edom.
Yom and Rabin.
Golas Edom. So the question is, excuse me, what happened to the most important Golas of all? What happened to Egypt? Egypt is not a Golas. Why isn't Mitzrayim on the list? It wasn't harsh enough. It wasn't intense enough. So the Arizal writes that the four golosim correspond to, and we're going to try to explain this, the four letters of God's name. Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. But there's a part of God's name which is overarching and the most sanctified of the whole shame, which is the Kutzai Shel Yud, and that is Keneged Mitzrayim. In other words, Mitzrayim, in a way, and this is how the Bnei Yisachar explains in number 12, is the shoyresh of all the golosim. The root of all golos is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim incorporates, and the way the Bnei Yisachar explains it, each golos attaches us to a different dimension of God's name. Bavel attaches us to the Yod, and Madai to the Hey, and Yavan to the Vav, and Edom to the Hey. And Mitzrayim allows us to comprehend the Kutzo Shel Yod. Yeah? I'll just share with you an interesting dimension to this, an interesting part of this. We were supposed to be in Egypt how many years? 430. How many did we do? How many years of service did we have?
286.
So how many are we missing? 430 minus 86. Any accountants here? Aspiring accountants. Expiring accountants. What's 430 minus 86?
Actually, 430 is from a table from Greece, Beta.
From the birth. 44. From Bris Ben Absarim. We're supposed to be 430 years. We were there 86. We're left with?
344.
Shmad. When the Gemara says it's a Shas HaShmad, that means we left after 86 years. We owe 344. So whenever there is a gezeira of the goyim, it's to make up time from when we had to be in Mitzrayim. That's why a gezeira of the goyim is called Shas Shmad. Shmad 344. We owe 344 years. Who took us out of 344? Moshe's gematria, 345. That's how he was Moitzias, because Moshe's 345. Hashem told Moshe, V'zelecha ha'ois, you have the one added numerical value that could get us out of Mitzrayim. That's the famous chida we always say over. So really there are four golosim and one overarching golos, which is koilel, all the golosim. And if things would have been right, we would have done all five in Egypt, and then we would have gone straight into Israel, and we would have gone straight to the Holy Land, and we never would have had to come to Cedarhurst, Woodmere, or even Los Angeles. We would have gone straight to the Holy Land. But what could we do? We didn't do Babylon, we didn't do Madai, we didn't do Paras, we didn't do any of it in Mitzrayim, and we had to come back and do it. But Mitzrayim is the fatherhead, the motherhead of all the Golosim. In fact, if you look in the beginning of Shemois, Ve'ele Shemois B'nei Yisrael, Ha-Ba'im, Ba'im is Rashi Teva, is Bavel, Edom, Yavon, Madai, and the He is the fifth one, Hakoel, Mitzrayim is everything. Or Mitzrayim, the Chida writes in number 10, Mitzrayim is Mem is Mitzrayim, Tzadi is Tzoyle, the swamp, that's drain the swamp, that's Bavel, Roimi, Yavan, Madai. Okay, very interesting. So Mitzrayim is, so to speak, the fatherhead, the motherhead of all the Golosim. In fact, the Megala Amukos also writes the word Rabim is Roimi, Bavel, Yavon, Madai, and Yaakov Avinu was Mesabel on Yosef, Yamim, Rabim, because Mitzrayim incorporated all the Golosim. So I ask you one thing. The Jewish people are about to go down not just to the land of Egypt and build pyramids, but Mitzrayim is the Shoresh of all of Golos. It's the root of Babylon. It's the root of Madai. It's the root of Persia. It's the root of Greece. So that means it's the root of our current Golos. So before God's going to send us down to Mitzrayim, He must create the salvation, not just from Egypt, but from all the Golosim. Now what's the salvation from Golos? Malchus Beis David, Mashiach. So the Parsha reads, Mamish Kafter V'Farach. God says, look, Yosef, your brother's going to hate you. They're going to want to kill you. They're going to send you down to Egypt. But one second, before you get down to Egypt, cut, flash the light over there. Yehuda's going to go. He's going to take a woman named Shua. He's going to have two kids. They're going to marry Tamar. And then Tamar's going to live with Yehuda. Yehuda's going to bring Zarach and Paratz. Malchus Beis David is in place. All right, now it's time for the Jewish people to go down to Egypt. But once, as they're going down to Egypt, before they get there and set into motion the whole historical process of Golos, the Ribono Shel Olam has to create the process of Malchus Beis David Mashiach, which is exactly what he does. And this, I believe, is the simple reading of Parshas Vayishev. Before we go into Golos, God has to create the remedy. The remedy being Oiroi Shel Mashiach. And then I realized, this shir is so pashut, the Medrash says it explicitly. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Pehe Alf, number 15 and number 16, Vayehi Ba'esahi, it was at that time. Meaning when Vayered Yehuda, Yehuda went down. The Medrash paints the picture. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Pasach, Ki Anoichi Yodati Asamach Shavas, God says, I know all the machinations and thoughts. What were the Shvatim doing? They were busy selling Joseph. What was Joseph doing? He was fasting in sackcloth. He was misabel that he was being separated from his father. Reuven was fasting and he was mourning that they were going to blame him for the sale. Yaakov was fasting and mourning. Everybody's world is coming crashing down. God is about to bring the history of mankind, Golos, on Klal Yisrael. Yehuda is busy getting married, and what's God doing? This is a famous medrash, but we're just trying to just illustrate and portray, just look what's going on. Yes, God is beginning the historic process of the Dalet Golosim, and before He does so, God says, first of all, Mitzrayim, before you even go down to Mitzrayim, I'm going to send Yosef. Yosef is the key to get out. And I'm going to give him the zechus to get out. As soon as he gets there, he's going to run away from Eshes Potiphar so the Yam can run away from Aron Eshel Yosef. And he's going to be Vechim Eshes Mitzrayim. But moreover, I'm giving you the ability to get out of all the Golosim through the creation of Malchus Beis David, Zarach, and Paratz. And this, I believe, is a very blatant demonstration of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maka Es Yisrael Ad Sheboire Lohem Refua Tchila. God brings no problems until He brings the remedy first. In fact, the Bereishis Rabba continues. So if you wanted to know, did I answer the question of why the Torah digresses to speak about Yehuda Mil Mechiras Yosef? The answer is
yes.
Thank you. Egypt?
To take them out, because he's 345.
So we needed to create Moshe Rabbeinu, you're saying?
Yeah, he was the pure.
Okay, but we needed Yosef.
Okay.
So, look, there's an interesting Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi. Arachayim HaKadosh says, who is going to be the Mashiach? And Arachayim HaKadosh says, Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Archaim, we know he has to come from Malchus Beis David. He says it's not a question. Moshe comes from Malchus Beis David. Moshe comes from Levi. How does he come from Malchus? He says Moshe is Koilel all of Klal Yisrael. So somehow there is a connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malchus Beis David. But look in the Bereishis Rabba number 18. Bereishis Rabba says, at that time, Vayered Yehuda, Yehuda descended. B'terem tachil yalada. This is a fruition of before you even have birth pangs, you give birth. Before Paroi was even born, who is the Meshabed Arishain, God says, I already created the Goyal Ha'achrain. But the way we're saying it is before any of the process of Golos even began, which is the source of all the Dalai Golosim, Hashem already brought the final solution. Interestingly, the Medrash Tanchuma says that anything that ever occurred to Yosef HaTzadik occurred to Tzion. How's that? Yosef, it says, Yisrael loved Yosef. By Tzion, it says, Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion. By Yosef, it says, Vayisnu Oysai. But Tzion it says, Nasnu alai v'kala kein sinaisia. By Yosef it says, we're bundling bundles. By Tzion it says, Bayavai barina noisei alumaisav. By Yosef they said, Hamolech timlech aleinu. By Tzion it says, Oimer l'tzion malach eloi kayach. Yosef had a dream. Tzion, b'shuv Hashem eshiva Tzion hayinu kechomim. Everything that happened to Yosef happened to Tzion. So in a way, Yosef's descent is the galus of Tzion. And the ultimate ascent of Yosef is the salvation of the Jewish people. In fact, the Eitz Yosef says, what is the connection between Yosef and Tzion? And he says they have the exact same gematria. Yosef is gematria 156. Which is what? What's Yosef Gematria? Yud Vav is 16 plus 60. That's 76 plus 156, yeah? 156. That is the Gematria of Yosef. Six times Yud Kei Vav Kei. So is Tzion. Tzion is six times Yud Kei Vav Kei. So apparently, if you remember last week, we learned the names of all the Shvatim reflect the redemption from Egypt. The name of Yosef reflects the future redemption, Yosef Hashem Shenes. Yosef represents the Geula. His descent is the subjugation of the Jewish people. And everything, even though he descended and he was subjugated, God gave him the ingredients to ultimately be the redeemer of the Jewish people. And to be able to be Koira the Yam and be able to give Klal Yisrael the Schusim to get out. But the limud is that before the Ribbono Shel brings any kind of challenge to the Jewish people, he always creates the vaccine, the remedy, before the Makkah. So may the Ribbono Shel open our eyes and we should be Zoicha always to see Yeshua's Venachamos, Lanu Elchal Yisrael, Amen. Shkoyach. If anybody wants to get a hold of any of the new Sfarim. We mentioned rabbidg.com. If anybody wants to help contribute toward the upcoming Sefer, there's a Hashem on Sefer, well, that was quick, on Sefer Bereishis, please let us know. Shkoyach, Tzitzkel Mitzvahis.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.